7:14, beautiful Friday morning. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Highs today of only 72, 77 tomorrow, warming to 79 on Sunday. But get ready next week by the 1 week point to Thanksgiving next Thursday night, Friday morning, highs in the, of only 60 and lows in the mid-40s. So we got some nice fireplace weather coming. We're going to spend an hour talking about the governor's tax reform special session that's going on, and his plans for tax reform and thoughts on it. We'll start with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Then we'll go to Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute. And I'm guessing they see it a little differently. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Tommy.
Tell me about your thoughts as to what the governor's proposing and where it stands now in the session.
Well, so we're about halfway through the session. The governor, I will give him credit for having big ambitions when it comes to tax policy. But from our perspective, Tommy, this was the wrong plan at the wrong time. The governor is trying to do two big things. He wants to pass, the biggest constitutional overhaul that we've seen in Louisiana in a half a century, and also probably the biggest changes to the tax structure that we've seen in a half a century. And when the smoke clears from all this, and remember, the governor in his opening speech said that he wants this entire package to pass, and that this thing is meant to be a whole package. You can't just pass pieces of it. Our concern with the overall package is that when the smoke clears, if it passes, Louisiana would not be solving a budget shortfall. It would actually be creating a massive budget shortfall and setting the stage for deep budget cuts to programs and services. It's just not going to raise as much money as we need to run state government. So that's our concern with the plan. We're at about the halfway point. The House has been working on this plan. Tax bills have to start in the House. So first it's the House and then the Senate. And it turns out there are a lot of people in the House who are very eager to cut taxes. So the bills that cut the income tax and cut the corporate franchise tax, those passed pretty easily. There aren't quite as many legislators who want to raise other taxes to pay for those tax cuts. So yesterday there was a bill to renew the sales tax that's expiring. That bill passed with just one extra vote to spare after a lot of amendments were made. And then the second part, which was to expand the state sales tax to include services, 41 different services that the governor wants to tax, that bill didn't even come up for debate because they don't have the votes. So we're at a kind of an impasse now as this plan moves to the Senate, because again, the governor said that this has to pass as an entire package, but we have a long way to go. They have until a week from Monday to finish their business.
My concern going in was that, okay, you want to do this to get away from all the carve-outs, but guess what? As you try to either eliminate carve-outs or add taxes to other things, those people that are the beneficiaries of the carve-outs or are going to be the targets of the new taxes are going to say, whoa, hang on a second. They're going to start calling the legislators. Legislators are going to react, and we wind up with something that's even more jumbled than it was when we started. Am I on anything here?
Absolutely. And look, one of the problems with and that's part of the issue as this plan goes to the Senate. So let's talk about just one bill in this package. You talk about carve-outs. The governor's plan calls for cutting this the corporate income tax by more than half. Corporations, the companies that pay this corporate income tax, by and large, are the very big companies. You think petrochemical companies, Exxon, companies like that. He wants to cut that tax in half, but to minimize the cost of that tax cut, he wants to get rid of some of the tax credit programs that we have. And what that would do is, he wants to eliminate the movie tax credit. If you do that, you're going to kill the film industry in New Orleans. There's a tax credit for historic preservation that gets used to bring a lot of old, dilapidated buildings. Think of downtown redevelopment projects, housing projects. That credit would go away, and so would a lot of those projects. There's just a lot of development that wouldn't get done. There's a tax credit for digital and interactive media that's responsible for bringing a whole lot of technology jobs to New Orleans. So if those tax credits go away, you're killing entire industries that bring jobs and economic activity to parts of Louisiana. And so absolutely, the defenders of those credits have been in the room defending those credits. And so if you're looking at this bill now in the Senate, you have to kind of ask yourself a question. Do I want to give a tax cut to the shareholders of ExxonMobil, or do I want to keep filmmakers and these small builders and these new tech companies in New Orleans and other places? That's a difficult choice for legislators, but that's one reason we're seeing a lot of skepticism around this plan.
So when you're talking about reducing the corporate income tax by half, I don't know, are we at risk of corporations leaving because of the income tax, or do we know of any corporations on the horizon that, given all the other problems the state has, are going to come in because you've reduced that income tax by half?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if you ask the Department of Economic Development, they'll say that there are companies that don't consider Louisiana because of the corporate income tax. But again, very few companies in Louisiana pay the corporate income tax at all. You have to be organized as a C corp, not an S corp, to pay that tax. And again, it's mostly the large national, multinational companies. You know, think about the companies that have plants along the Mississippi River, or big companies like Walmart that might have, you know, operations across Louisiana pay this tax. And again, it's a tax that's essentially paid by the shareholders of those companies. So we don't know what would happen if they do that, but we do know that if you cut the corporate income tax and you eliminate these tax credits, then there are some very important industries in Louisiana that would simply go away. The film industry does not exist in Louisiana without the film program, the film tax credit. We heard last week from some tech companies, from New Orleans, who said, you know, the only reason we can exist is a place like New Orleans, where there isn't as much, high tech talent as a place like Austin or Silicon Valley or New York, is because there's this tax incentive that encourages them to operate there.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute, I'm sure sees this differently. We'll talk to her in the next half hour, 7:21 and a half. Time for traffic now, WWL. 7:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, pleading his case, if you will, about the governor's tax reform plan. Jan, there are always going to be winners and losers whenever you change anything, right? So in this instance, let me take a step back first. You mentioned budget shortfall and cuts. People are confused. They think John Bel Edwards left the state with a surplus. Did he? And where does a budget shortfall or fiscal cliff come from?
Well, yes. I think one of the stories we don't tell about John Bel Edwards enough is how much money he left in the state savings accounts. When he took over from Bobby Jindal, the state had about $200 million sitting aside in its rainy day fund, because that fund had been tapped so many times under the previous governor to keep the budget balanced. The state has to balance its budget every year. During the 8 years that John Bel Edwards was governor, those rainy day funds, we have two rainy day funds, went from about $200 million to almost $4 billion. So we have a lot of money in the savings accounts, in large part thanks to those surpluses that we ran. And one of the parts about Landry's tax plan is that they want to raid some of that money to pay down some of these tax credit obligations. So there's a lot of money coming out of the state savings accounts if this plan passes. But again, the budget shortfalls come from the fact that if this plan passes, we're going to be raising a lot less revenue for state government than we are right now. And when you bring in less revenue, you have to balance that with budget cuts. The Legislative Fiscal Office's own numbers show that the plan, when you balance out the tax cuts and the tax increases, we're going to bring in about $600 million less than we are bringing in right now. And that means you're going to have to cut. And we all know what gets cut in those situations. It's education, it's college and university funding, it's healthcare, it's public services that people use and need. And so we have a generation of legislators, particularly in the House, who've never been through these times of hardship when state government is struggling to balance the budget and make cuts that sometimes can hurt the state for years to come because they haven't seen it in 8 or 9 years. Back to the fiscal cliff, Tommy. The fiscal cliff is something the legislature created, and that is because the last time we had a budget crisis in 2018, they put some new sales taxes on the books, but they scheduled those taxes to expire and at the end of June of next year. So the legislature created the fiscal cliff. They could solve this fiscal cliff pretty easily by simply renewing those taxes, but the governor decided to use this this small crisis as an excuse to kind of take an entire, you know, again, a very ambitious plan to restructure the tax structure that we have in Louisiana. But again, I think when you add up the numbers, the math isn't mathing.
And if I remember correctly, there was a hell of a fight to get it to 0.45 cents on a dollar because it was at a penny, right?
Absolutely. And it took them three special sessions in 2018. I remember some of those plans passed, moments before midnight. So there was a lot of blood, sweat and tears to get that compromise. And I understand, you know, nobody runs for office because they want to raise taxes on constituents. It's, spending money is the easy part. Everybody wants to fund the programs that people need. Raising the money to pay for that is a much harder thing. So, look, I appreciate the hard work that the legislature is undertaking. And I know we're probably running out of time, Tommy, but people need to understand that we have an entire session coming up in the spring, a fiscal session when the legislature is supposed to look at these problems. There is really no reason to do this in the middle of November, especially because we don't have a budget in front of us. The budget doesn't even get released until February. So legislators have no way really of telling which programs are going to get cut if they cut these taxes that the governor's asking for.
Thank you, Jan. 7:30, we'll take a break. Talk to Erin Bendeley on the other side, Vice President of Policy and Strategy for the Pelican Institute. She sees it differently. They do. We'll talk when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.